The importance of being wise. It's in the Old Testament, I believe it is, that it talks about the those that are wise, those that are righteous, shining like the stars in the firmament. And that's what we want to do. There are different ways to study the Bible, and we get to find strength and encouragement in different ways. One really important way, probably the way we use the most, is to study a whole book of the Bible like we're doing in Sunday school, or maybe a whole chapter or passage, and we look at what it says and we get a view of the whole. I've enjoyed different times, especially with the devotionals, when people would have a study of a character and what a certain person was like and what he did or what he didn't do. And there's still another way of studying the scripture, and that's by studying a particular word or idea or phrase that is in the scripture. So I've chosen this morning to look at the word fellowship as used in the New Testament. It's found in many different passages. And for a title for the message, I chose that from Philippians 1:5, where it tells about Paul thanking the Philippians Christians for their faithfulness and sharing with him, and then he said he thanked them for their fellowship in the gospel from that day until now. And so the phrase fellowship in the gospel is what we especially want to think about in relation to fellowship. Now, the exact word fellowship is found in the New Testament at least 15 times, but it has other meanings than we think of when we generally think of that word fellowship. And so it is the same word, exactly the same word, is translated in different ways in other places. And the reason that's true is because fellowship has a wide variety of meanings. Other translations of it are contribution, communicate, communication, distribution, and even the word communion sometimes is that same word, fellowship. And when it talks about the communion of the blood of Jesus Christ, it's using exactly the same word in the Greek language for fellowship as is translated fellowship in some of these other ways. And so, and there's a closely related word to it. As a matter of fact, it's actually a form of the same word, is translated partner or partnership, sometimes fellowship. And so the word has many different possible meanings. And it's a word that we hear used quite a bit and maybe even misused sometimes. And it has generally in the New Testament, it has a very positive meaning. It can have a negative meaning. There are two passages where it does actually have a negative meaning, and we want to look at those. Now, in Philippians chapter 2, verse 1, it talks about the fellowship of the Spirit. And in Philippians 3:10 is an unusual use of the word in that it talks about that we need to identify with the fellowship of the sufferings of Jesus Christ. And so as we relate to him, as we are in partnership with him, we sometimes need to endure the sufferings that he suffered, or many of the sufferings that he suffered, the fellowship of his suffering. And we do not usually think of the word suffering when we think of the word fellowship, but that is involved. And I didn't go back. We had to study different times from the different chapters in Philippians over the last year, and I didn't go back in the messages to see what I said then about fellowship. So maybe there'll be a little repetition. I hope it won't be too much. The word can be used in different ways, and sometimes it almost means relationship, like a relationship with someone. The relationship with God is fellowship with God. Relationship with another person may be fellowship with another person. And it doesn't have to mean something Christian, although in the New Testament it predominantly does. And that's one of the things we want to look at. Some years ago, we were into poultry farming, and every once in a while we'd have poultry meetings, and we were asked to come to those so we could learn about new things, new techniques, and so on. And they would always have a meal at these poultry meetings. And the meal was provided by the poultry company. They paid for it. I wonder how many people would have come if we had been charged for the meal. But anyway, it was a poultry meeting. And I remember they would, in deference to the Christians that were there, they would always have a prayer before the meal. They would ask somebody to have a prayer. And one time they asked a man to have a prayer, and one of the things that he said in his prayer is, "I thank you, Lord, for the fellowship of this industry." And it startled me because I didn't think of fellowship as what we were doing as fellowship there. But, you know, we had something in common, and that was turkeys. And that was about all some of us had in common, but nevertheless, I guess that's what he meant when he said fellowship. And so it did startle me a little bit, but Christian fellowship, as depicted in the New Testament, is far deeper than just a common interest. The word fellowship is used in society of even a common interest in things. I was reading a short article the other day on fellowship, and I don't know, you know, who the person was that wrote it, but he apparently was a Baptist, because he made this comment in his article on fellowship. He said, "Fellowship is the Baptist word for food." And that rather startled me, but then I got to thinking about it, you know. I've heard a term or expression used by Mennonites, too. And the first time I ever saw it in print, it so startled me. I'd heard it, but to actually see it in print startled me. And the first place I ever saw it in print was in the budget many years ago. And it talked about that at a particular church, they had a time of food, fun, and fellowship. And so, so fellowship is the Baptist word for food, and apparently with Mennonites, food and fun and fellowship somehow go together. And my first thought was, well, could you have fellowship without food and fun? And so we want to think that through a little bit later on. Some time ago, we were at a congregation in another state, and we had what's called a fellowship meal after the service. And I'm kind of glad we used the term fellowship meal, even though it would be possible to eat with somebody and not really have fellowship. I've heard it called potluck. And somehow I like it better that we say fellowship meal, because potluck, what does that mean? Does that mean you're lucky if you get something to eat? Or maybe you're lucky if you get something you like? I don't know. But anyway, it's better to use fellowship, and hopefully we can have true Christian fellowship even when we would eat together. But anyway, we were eating together, and we were sitting near a young couple. They had several children. And in the course of the conversation, we learned where these people were from. And we also learned that he was a dairy farmer. And then his wife started talking about that she was stopped on the streets in a town not too long before that, and she had the children with her, and some man asked her about her faith. And then he asked her about how she relates to her children and how her faith relates to her children. And so she asked me, she said, "What kind of answer do you think that I should have given him?" And so we had a little discussion there as to what kind of an answer she thought that that I thought maybe she should have had. It was a bit later after that that we talked about some other things. And then the husband started telling about some of the struggles he had in applying Christian principles in his business and in relating to the dairy industry, and how he had attempted to witness for Christ to some of these people, and he wasn't sure, you know, the best way to go about doing that. Now, as I thought about that conversation that we had and thinking about the term fellowship, I wondered if all that we had talked about was where we were from, and if all that we had talked about was the mechanics of farming, would it have really been Christian fellowship? Would it have been? Or was the fact that we were in a church building and they had what was called a fellowship meal that somehow the ladies had provided, did that make it fellowship, regardless of what we talked about? And that's something to think about. Well, and it's possible to eat out with a non-Christian and have a friendly conversation, and maybe not mention anything spiritual. And I guess that could technically be called fellowship, but it's not the Christian concept of fellowship. What about if I eat out with a fellow Christian sometime? Is that fellowship? or not? And what makes it fellowship if it is fellowship? So that's something to think about. Now, before we go into the positives of fellowship, there are, remember I told you there are two passages that speak of it in a very negative way. And I want us to look at those. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 10, verses 20 and 21. And this is describing what we're not to have fellowship with. And so it is possible to have fellowship with the wrong thing or in the wrong way. 1 Corinthians 10, 20 and 21. And the next one is in 2 Corinthians, so we won't be far away. 1 Corinthians 10, 20. But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. Ye cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. And the word partaker there is one of the meanings of fellowship, partaking with somebody, with something. But it says we are not to have fellowship with devils or the things that devils do. Now, 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. Especially verse 14. It says, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" And there's the idea of fellowship and communion, the same thought there in one verse. What fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? It's not genuine Christian fellowship in the New Testament sense of Christian fellowship. And then it goes on to explain it. "And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For ye are the temple of the living God, as God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you, and will be a father unto you, and ye shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty." And so there's a separation between the Christian and the non-Christian, and between Christian activities and non-Christian activities. A Christian needs to be very careful about his association with the ungodly. Now, the Bible does teach that we are to be a witness to the ungodly. And certainly we do have some contact with them. But this means that we do not put ourselves in undue temptation in our relationship with the ungodly. I heard about a man who had been a drunk. And after he became a Christian, he decided that he would start going to the same bar that he had gone to get his drink to pass out Christian literature and witness to the men there at the bar. And at first, he stood on the street outside and witnessed to these men as they came in and out of the bar. And then he decided to go in and do it. And anyway, it led to his going back to liquor. And there are ways to witness to the ungodly that